with Dion and Alan.
Continuing looking at scripture from this wide angle and zoom lens, this personal and political lens, let me tell you a story. If you give a child, maybe a 2-3-year-old child, a chocolate, the child eats the chocolate and you know what happens. There's chocolate everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah.
Chocolate all over the hands and the face. So what happens is the parent says to the child, bring me a wet cloth. And the child brings the wet cloth. And you take the wet cloth and you wipe the child's fingers and hands. And then you hold the back of the head, and I've seen this all around the world. You hold the back of the head and you squash the face cloth on their face, and then they move around. They wriggle.
Yes.
And you wipe the chocolate away from their face.
Yes.
Now, a wise parent doesn't only wash the child's hands, fingers, and face. The wise parent says, I wonder where my child's been. And they walk to the coffee table and they clean the stains of chocolate that the child has put there.
Yep.
And maybe even on the wall, maybe on the window. Isn't that right?
Absolutely.
That's what a wise parent does. That is the most beautiful example of God. God says, Alan, come to me. I want to wash you. I want to clean you. And God's grace is this amazing face cloth that takes my hands, takes my face, and just cleans and makes it new and beautiful. But God is wise. God now says, Alan, where have you been? Where have you been? Have you been in your community? Where have you been in your community? Your place of work? In your family? Maybe a church? Where have you been? At the sports club? Where have you been? Because you've left fingerprints there.
Mm.
You have stained other places. Your life wasn't just stained with sin. You have stained other places with sin. And God wants to redeem the world, not simply individuals. So God doesn't just clean my hands and my face. God wants to clean everything that I've touched.
Mm.
Maybe everything I've kissed and left chocolate everywhere. That's it. So God wants to save the entire world. So when we're reading scripture, we read it as God's face cloth to clean us personally, but also God's face cloth to clean the world. Now, we have altar calls sometimes in churches, and you call people forward to make a commitment to Jesus or to renew their commitment to Jesus and to offer up their stained lives to be cleaned. Isn't that right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Now, I believe in that transformation. But what we're also needing to do is bring the institutions that we've stained, the schools, the churches, the politics, the law, the health facilities, places that are equally stained. Why? Because stained human beings have been working in them. Now, what we need to do is call those stained institutions to an altar call and say, the Lord wants to wash these places as well. So can you see there's personal and this public or political. God wants to wash the world. And so what we are invited to is to be truthful about our own lives, but also to be truthful about the institutions and organizations that we are a part of, that God wants to constantly renew. Just like God wants to constantly renew my life and your life and the people who are listening, their lives, God wants to constantly renew the organizations that we work in and are a part of.
You know, and I can see how when we approach the text with those four critical questions, you know, what does the text say about God? What does it say about humanity? What does it say about creation? And what does it say, what was the fourth one about people, about myself and others? I can see how you can begin to find the places where you live and work and rest and play mentioned in the text.
Yeah, and if we go back to that text that we were reflecting on earlier, Exodus chapter 3 with Moses' encounter with God, what was God saying? Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt, to the institution of Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. And what was it? It was an institution of slavery that God wanted to clean up. God wanted to deal with the unfairness and the injustice and the inhumanity. Can you see that? That's an example of God personally calling an individual to deal with the public manifestations of our stained lives or sin.
Yeah, that is so powerful because it allows the Bible to really have such a significant place of authority and encouragement and insight into every aspect of our lives. It's no longer just something that I take into my private space.
So therefore, what happens at the communion table in our churches is no more significant than what happens around the boardroom tables in our places of work. God wants to be honored at both tables.
Yeah, that's a very, very true thing. And I think, you know, as Christians, we often forget that. We think God is present in certain places at certain times, you know, perhaps that 1 or 2 hours on a Sunday. But when you read the Bible, it's so full of stories of life of every day.
Again, as we come back to that story, it was a story of encounter. It wasn't in a temple. It wasn't in a church. It was out in the wilderness. It was in a place that people considered to be God-forsaken. So what we learn from that now, there's no such thing as a God-forsaken place. All places are filled with the holy mystery of God. It's for us to pray for the senses to be able to discern God's presence.
I'm looking forward to taking this to the next level because I know you've got something else to share with us when we talk next. So I'm looking forward to learning a bit more about Scripture and context.
Are you stirred by this message? Then get in touch with us and send us a text to +27 782 785 300. For more audio and information on this series, please visit www.mannaandmercy.org.